minutes, we'll have Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. Join us for your daily news magazine. At 11 on Between the Covers, you can hear from Portland author James Anderson about his mystery novel, The Never Open Desert Diner. And at 11:30, The Film Show welcomes three directors of short films that will be screened at the upcoming annual Portland Film Festival. That is all coming up. But first, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary right after this.
Listen to The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of each month at 11:30 a.m. The Film Show features news and interviews about the local and independent film scene. That's The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of the month at 11:30 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, January 26, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio and your sanctuary radio. And we'll remain sanctuary radio in Sanctuary City, Portland, Oregon. KBOO is 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And we got weather for you before we get to our guests today. Ed Fallon with Bold Iowa. Bold Iowa is proving to be a huge powerhouse of resistance coming out of Iowa and mobilizing countless farmers, farming families, people whose land has been in the family for many generations. Not as many generations, however, as First Nations land. And that land, too, the idea of moving a pipeline so as to avoid confrontation, moving it not out of respect for the people who would be in a direct line of disaster. No, just out of their own convenience, because, you know, it really is inconvenient to have tens of thousands of people standing up to one. So no, and of course, let me just recall for everyone that the reason why the Dakota Access Pipeline ran the route that it did, that attracted water protectors from across the country, was because they didn't. People in Bismarck did not want to face the possibility, the prospect, the almost certainty of that line breaking, leaking, and injuring, damaging, or compromising the safety of white people. That's why they ran it through the Lakota, Standing Rock, Lakota Sioux Nation, because white people got nervous about pipelines going close by their property. So any remarks that company might have made to the extent that this pipeline might is completely safe, and all of these silly Indians are just up in arms over nothing, is preposterously untrue. One of just a sprinkling of lies coming down the pike that became a blinding storm of lies that we now find ourselves living in. That said, weather today, a slight chance of showers, and could get a little bit of sun breaking through, a high around 44 tonight. Patchy fog. My favorite thing, my very favorite weather, is this is patchy freezing fog. It's such a beautiful, beautiful image. Otherwise, partly cloudy, lows around 35, and for Friday, patchy freezing, patchy fog before 10 in the morning, and then freezing fog later on. Mostly sunny and a high around 43. And for Friday night, more fog, more freezing, and overcast skies, lows around 32. That's the weather coming up next couple of days. Ed Fallon will be coming up in the next couple of minutes. And Matt Stannard also. What's one of the solutions to the blustering treaty threats that are issuing out of Washington, D.C. these days? Is, are we going to take federal funding away from sanctuary cities? Sanctuary cities has, well, they said that, you know, go ahead, Trump, do your worst. And California, of course, is leading the nation right now as far as resistance to the Trump administration. Lots of other states very likely will line up or circle the wagons around California, and there will. I can envision a meta nation existing. There'll be Trump hopping up and down, hair on fire, frantically tweeting, and no one paying any attention. There'll be a completely different America that will continue on, leaving him in his hotel room. We'll be speaking again, as I said, with Ed. And we want to also let people remind everybody that this that there wasn't an that was not an election. Doesn't matter about the counting of votes. This was a coup, and if you want to characterize it, how about a golden coup, which would also have that sort of suggestion of golden shower, which is another suggestion that hovers around the Donald Trump, as a cloud might hover over a sanctuary city getting ready to rain down. That said, we're going to talk with Ed Fallon right now with Bold Iowa. So much has gone on in Iowa, a state that does not often find itself in the news except from an agricultural perspective. And indeed, one must say, this is an agricultural perspective. Good morning, Ed. Hi, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, wonderful to have you back on the show. Iowa is, again, is in the news as Standing Rock vanishes in one place, appears all across the country, and just as the Standing Rock camp has been dispersed, again, it is going to very likely attract more of the water protectors back. But the water protectors, the key water protectors in Iowa, who have been there all along and aren't going anywhere, are part of Bold Iowa. So where do these announcements leave you and Bold Iowa at this point?
Well, we're pretty fired up. I mean, the decision made by President Trump this week infuriated a lot of people and basically inspired them. I mean, I haven't talked to anybody who said, oh, I'm so fed up, I'm quitting. No, actually, the opposite is happening. People are saying, I'm really fired up, and I'm ready to go. I mean, it wasn't just and we had, like all over the country, last Saturday, we had 26,000 people show for the Women's March here in Des Moines. That's a record. I've never seen a rally in my 30 years of organizing. I've never seen a rally anywhere near that big in Des Moines. So people are fired up, and they're ready to do something.
And people consistently in Iowa and around Bold, you started Bold Iowa really at the apex of the water protectors' actions that happened, you know, last autumn. And Iowa not frequently in the news. Not often.
What about the time when we legalized marriage equality before Oregon did?
That's true. Yes, indeed. Yeah, you've got us there. Yeah, this is one of the most exciting places to report on because of all of these things. Now that Trump also, in the same week, has announcing that he's going to, I think one of the wonderful words that I found was he's going to dismember the EPA, which is a kind of a ghastly image. But it seems though that Iowa, again leaning in, and California, I have to say, are forming their own regulatory agencies, and Iowa too is probably people will be turning out once again if they attempt to put the pipeline through. So what's going to happen if they do start building again?
Well, the other thing that's happened here in Iowa this week is just yesterday, it's Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. a spill of 138,600 yes. gallons of diesel fuel occurred from a Magellan pipeline. And so you add that to the momentum generated by the Women's March last Saturday, to the anger over President Trump's decision on the pipeline, to the reality of now we have this huge spill right here in our own state. And we've been saying all along that these pipelines are going to break. It's just a matter of when and where. Now we have an example of when and where, and people are upset. So our action, our focus now is to give people a focal point to organize around. So on Saturday, we're just now beginning to plan a rally at the federal building. Again, the federal building is the symbol of government power in every state, and right here in Des Moines, it's where we think we need to focus our efforts because, again, Donald Trump is the one now leading the charge on trying to fast-track the pipeline, despite all that's happening with the environmental impact statement being coordinated by the Corps of Engineers, despite the court cases that are pending both in North Dakota and in Iowa. So we expect a good turnout this coming Saturday to express our disdain over what the president has done, and also pointing out that we've just had a big spill of fossil fuel right here this week. Wake up.
And of course, it's Saskatchewan also, another oil spill. It's... Right. Not that big as Canadian oil fields go, but nonetheless, this this confluence of events right at a critical time when Trump is again trying to draw attention to himself. It seems that his followers have become rather subdued, rather quiet recently, not the noisy rabble that took place all summer long. So with the case of Iowa, these are family farms. These are generations. An oil spill on a farm, is beyond disastrous. We've got our second guest just about to come on, so I may be out of time here, but I have
questions. I've got to go organize a rally anyhow.
Yeah, you've got work to do. Thank you so much.
We'll talk
to you about results of rally probably next week if you have time. Many thanks.
I want
to talk to Matt Stannard a bit. And those of you who listen to the show know Matt with Commonomics. And the other faces of public banking today as a resource and a recourse for people who are concerned about the economies. And now, in the case of sanctuary cities and Trump making these noisy threats to withdraw federal funding for sanctuary cities, how does public banking play a role here?
Well, Chris, public banking can help these cities save hundreds of millions of dollars over a span of years and can allow them to invest money locally as well as basically pay themselves to handle the kind of money that right now municipalities are paying Wall Street for. So if a city like Santa Fe, whose mayor has said we're going to remain a sanctuary city, opens up a public bank, they may lose millions of dollars in federal funding, but in both the short run and the long run, they can create a lot of that money themselves to fill in the gaps from that federal blackmail.
And of course, that's exactly what it is. It's federal blackmail, and I do wonder how Trump would even be able to enact this. He seems to think that a president has almighty powers over every aspect of government, and simply announces what his intentions are, and then everybody falls into line and makes it happen. That's not the way government works. None of these people seem to understand how government works, and this is, of course, is case in point. So in many respects, the threat to defund sanctuary cities is the best thing that could happen to public banking in a way. Could you just to wrap up, I'd like to have you back again tomorrow. This is a time crunch, but
happy to join you tomorrow.
Yes, perfect. Yes, please. And a final thought from you on public banking and sanctuary cities, just to leave listeners thinking.
Sure, there are many things going on right now that the feds are encroaching on, including recreational cannabis use, as well as sanctuary cities. If cities and states want to protect themselves against the Trump administration, they need to control their own finances, and public banking is the way to do that.
Thank you so much. My guest was Bean Metz-Stannard with theeconomics.org. Have a look at that website. It's all there. And we also spoke with Ed Fallon with Bold Iowa. Ed Fallon. The Fallon Forum is a program out of Des Moines that is really worth a listen. That's how I first found out about Ed. This has been, of course, Air Cascadia for Thursday, January 26, 2017. Rock Bergeron engineered for us today. Thanks, Rock. Derek Kutz is the KBOAM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.